George Burns once said that Jonathan Winters is the only one of us who never has to worry about somebody stealing his stuff. Nobody else could do it. When Jonathan Winters came onto the comedy scene in the mid-1950s, there was no one else like him. He did free-associating improvisations in which he'd slip into different characters. The characters were all creations of his imagination, and he gave each one a different voice and set of facial expressions. Winters was a popular guest on all the TV talk shows in the 50s and 60s, and starred in several movies. But for many years, he's kept out of the public eye, with the exception of trash bag commercials and occasional TV appearances and movie roles. But 2 years ago, Winters' collection of short stories became a surprise bestseller. He followed that with a book of his paintings. In the introduction, Winters said painting was always a way for him to hide. His childhood was lonely and unhappy, and he used his art, like he would later use his comedy, as a way to freely express himself.
Every once in a while, you find a man or a woman that had not only a strange childhood, but maybe they weren't allowed to be children. I thought for a long time, I still do, that I was a grown-up. Not that I was grown-up intellectually. It took me quite a while to mature, and I still am in that respect. But as far as being an adult, I felt that I was an adult when I was about seven. I thought, boy, I was more... I was an elderly man. I was a little old child in many ways. And it wasn't until number of years later, well into my 40s, that I decided, boy, now's the time to be a kid again, to wear these funny costumes. I remember my father was always saying, you're not going outside dressed like that, are you? And I didn't think it was that different. I had on sort of a rubber claw that was on my hand, and I had a bandana around my head so that it made me some kind of a militant. Before militants were really militants and fashionable, or terrorists, I had on heavy shades and maybe a white stick and a dead monkey on my shoulder. And he said, why do you dress like this? Why? You merely draw attention to yourself. And I said, well, that's what I'm looking for. I'm obviously not getting it from you, so I'll have to try to get it in front of the post office.
Were any of the characters that you created characters who you saw yourself as, characters that really came out of your own personal life?
Well, I think probably out of my own personal life, Chester Honeyhugger is the character that's basically me, that was in all through school sort of struggling and failing and passing now and then and looking out the window and looking at girls and the teacher saying... Chester, are you paying attention? You're not, are you? You wonder why you fail. Why do you constantly look out the window? It's snowing. Isn't it, class? Everybody, it's snowing.
Yeah, it is snowing. And I'd rather be out there on a flexible flyer. I'd rather be in the snow. I'd have a lot more fun. And I was noticing the woodpecker put his beak in the tree. He probably gets more maple sugar than anybody, any other bird.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
I guess because I want to be an ornithologist.
Where did you learn that word?
I don't know, but I know it's right.
But he was always a kid that... He wasn't a wise guy, but he picked out these wonderful words, and he just happened to get lucky every once in a while. Basically a failure, but on certain words, he'd be right. And that's why I used Chester that way. It was a great, and still is, part of me. I mean, there's a great sadness, but fun in Chester. He's, well, it's like, you know, God is in my mind, the devil's in my pants. he was always, you know...
Hi, Sally.
Hey, listen. Now stop it, Chester. Stop pulling my hair.
You have beautiful hair. And you know you're a natural Scandinavian blonde. My mother has brownie mouse hair. She pays over $56. That's just in a tip to have it made blonde. You're a lovely person. I wish I had money to marry you. but I don't have a job Saturday. I got fired from Weber's grocery store. Otherwise, I could buy you that orphan any ring. You have too many boyfriends. Your mind is going to be crowded.
And so, that's pretty much Chester.
Are these characters still close to you? Do you still carry them around in your mind?
Oh, yes. I was an only child, and I didn't have any brothers or sisters. As I look back over my shoulder, I think, oh, God, maybe it was a blessing I didn't have a sister. I'm sure I would have been in there asking, you know, to see her robe, or could I try her shoes on? If I had a brother, he would have been beating me up and probably locking me in the furnace until spring.
Why would you have wanted to try your sister's clothes on?
Why? Oh, I think, well, to my knowledge, a lot of guys with sisters have wanted to do that, and vice versa. My mother used to put clothes on me, her clothes, and I almost went back to live with my father. They were divorced when I was 7. And then, strangely enough, he wanted to put my grandmother's dress on me. So it was a wild kind of thing. I just wanted to end up in a civilian conservation corps. I wanted to pick up, you know, pine cones and just live with bears.
I hope you don't mind my asking this. I know in 1959 you spent around 8 months in a sanitarium.
Mm.
And I was wondering if when you were there you were worried that the doctors would try to cure you of comedy and to cure you of all the characters in your head.
Well, I think lawyers cure you of comedy. doctors stare at you. They really don't know. They just, in fairness to doctors, they go, how are we feeling? I had a couple of weeks, and that was in 59. And then I realized I had to get some money. I owed some money to some people, and not relatives. They never had it. And certainly I never asked my mother and dad. These are car dealers. And so I had to get well quickly. There was no sense of my sitting around here. But I think I would give this much advice, if I may. And it's only from an outpatient. My insanity, I've been called crazy. And a woman the other day pointed at me, a very strong lady in army clothes. She'd come out of a 5 and 10. And she was in a camouflaged outfit. I think she was on her way to purchase a handgun. And she was quite strong. She was a truck driver, but she's a very, very strong woman. Probably lived in Russia, you know, in the north. But she said, you know, you're crazy. And I said, yes, I think I'm aware of that. It's always overly sensitive people like yourself that spot us. Went right past her. I don't know. I've always enjoyed my craziness. I made it go to work for me. I just didn't sit down beside chicken wire or iron. I decided that this was my role, and I got to do something about it. And I think the thing is to just do the best you can and bring a little laughter. If you don't, you know, a guy out in California the other day, a UCLA graduate, said to me, doing a paper, what are you afraid of the most? Which is a very, very heavy question. There are so many things. I'm almost now completely paranoid. I'm afraid of everything. And if I see a shadow, I think it's time to go. If I see a bird, I know it's going to attack me. If it's a beggar, I'm sure that if I put something in the cup, it'll blow up. Both of us will have to go. He's probably a Buddhist. At any rate, I said, I'm scared to death of a man or a woman without a sense of humor. Because to me, if you don't have that, then I'm really frightened. And there are a surprising amount of people out there that don't have a sense of humor.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us about your life. Thank you very
much. Well, thank you, and I hope to see you. You're in Washington now?
Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Well, I'll come by at an odd hour, my dear.
Right.
Probably crawl up there. Are you in a house or in an apartment?
The radio station.
I'll find you.
Okay.
If you see little funny suction cups and a man smiling at the damnedest hour, it's me.
I'll be looking.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, and thank you.
Thank you.